As a reminder, we are being broadcasted and the meeting is being recorded. President Davis, it looks like we can begin the meeting if you'd like.
Okay. Is everyone admitted that needs to be?
Yes, there's no one in the waiting room and everyone is admitted.
Okay. Very good. Morning. I'm Shedrick Davis, the president of the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission, and this is the Ethics Commission meeting on October 20th, 2021. This is my first meeting in this role. I want to give a special shout out and thanks to my predecessor, Melinda Murray, again for her service in this role, and I hope
this
to
meeting
follow.
Is being recorded.
Do I need to do this again?
No, you continue, please.
Hope to follow in her good lead in leading this commission. Also, thanks to fellow commissioners as well as Vice President Jeff Darr for their support. Obviously, we are in a difficult ethical time for Los Angeles and Los Angeles government, and I firmly believe this commission has a role to play in addressing some of the crises we now, crises and confidence the public may have regarding ethical behavior within the city. And look forward to working with the wonderful staff of this commission, as well as my fellow commissioners, as well as our elected officials and other law enforcement in making this a better city for all. In conformity with the governor's executive order number N-2920, this meeting is accessible by telephone. The following access instructions are listed at the top of the agenda for this meeting. You may listen in by calling area code 213-621-2489. You may also provide public comment. All public comment will be taken during agenda item 2. To provide public comment, please call area code 669-254-5252. Again, that's 669-254-5252. Once you're connected, please enter meeting ID 161-788-4780, followed by the number or pound sign. Again, meeting ID 161-788-4780, followed by the pound sign. Press pound again when you are asked for a participant ID. So with that, let's get started. This meeting is called to order at 9:38 a.m. Ms. Jackson, our Director of Strategic Communication, is serving as our meeting moderator. Ms. Jackson, would you please call the roll?
Actually, President Davis, it will be Eric Eusebio this morning that will be leading it.
Good morning.
Sorry, Mr. Estadio.
No problem, President Davis. Good morning, Commissioners, President Davis and Vice President Darr. As stated, today is October 20, 2021 at approximately 9:38 a.m. For the first item, we will be calling roll. When your name is called, please state your name for the record. And here or present. President Davis?
President Davis here.
Vice President Darr?
Darr present.
Commissioner Janow?
Janow here.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni here.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray present.
We have five members present and a quorum. And I'll turn it back to you, President Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Estadio. At this time, we will take all public comment on agenda items and general public comment. If you have called the public comment line, please raise your hand to speak by pressing star 9. That is star 9. You will be recognized by our meeting moderator when it is your turn to speak. When you are recognized, please state your name and which agenda item you wish to address. As a reminder, commissioners are not permitted to engage with speakers regarding public comment. Mr. Stavia?
Yes, we do have one hand raised for a participant with number ending in 616. You will hear an automated prompt to unmute yourself. Please press star 6 once that prompt ends.
You're welcome to make your comments, please.
Thank you. It's Eric Previn from Studio City. How much time is afforded for the items?
You have 2 minutes per item. Please state which items you will be speaking on, and 5 minutes maximum.
Okay, I'll just take up to the maximum because I'd like to speak on the election update as well as the lobbying report and maybe the stipulations as well, and I'd like to talk about activity expenses as well.
So, very well, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to see the little shift around. Let's hats off to Murray, who was a tireless veteran and leader during one of the historic low points in Ethics Commission history. Is not one but two various council people were carted off by the authorities. That said, as we go forward, we're trying to hold the chins high, even though in just a few minutes there'll be a third suspended from duty at City Council. That would be Mark Ridley Thomas, who many years ago floated Nedra Jenkins right over to the Ethics Commission to sit as a commissioner with great honor for a year or so. While we were investigating them over there back at the County Board of Supervisors for all that malfeasance with Wall Street, where they were raiding Main Street in the form of county golf agreement. It's just terrible business. But let's get on to the election. $7.5 million, not bad, David, not bad at all in contributions. Surprised to see so much in city attorney with over $2 million. Wow. Who the hell's running? Is it the guy from Public Works? Don't say his name. The mayor, $1.5 million in contributions, pretty snazzy. That would be for the current city attorney and, Buscaino. These guys are raising money, and soon Karen Bass will blow them all out of the water financially. And also, I'd just like to say kudos to Coretz and to the Hammerlock on fundraising in CD5, by far one of the most generous districts. Obviously, Bonin's district is very generous, 11, and CD14. Don't say it. The shameful home of Weezer, also, they have a lot of money rolling around there. But, it looks like an ordinary election rollout. The matching fund has been appropriately capped at, you have to get still $11,000 or something dollars to get into the matching program. And it's extremely difficult. I know some of you know. Hello?
We're listening, Mr. Previn.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I thought I had a, it was a message from somebody else, but the matching fund, you can't really, the signature fiasco that it cropped up with the high degree of irregularity, whereas after years of making it, many candidates suddenly couldn't make it because of Holly Wolcott and the esteemed work of PAC. Not the PAC who sat on the Ethics Commission, different PAC. Ginny Pack from the clerk's office, who did a very good job. And they all do a great job of bringing in very temporary employees who are all brought in year after year. So it's an amazing report. Maybe I'll pitch something over to you guys. I know you got a lot on your plate being helpful, so don't want to dig into anything exciting. Activity expenses include gifts and must be itemized if they're valued at $25 or more, according to the LAMC 4802. And, USC reported in the third quarter of 2020 that they spent $78,000 in the third quarter, and like something like $12,600 was to Chris Hawthorne from the Office of the Mayor for his salary paid to a city official. So how is that different than, you know, Ridley Thomas getting somebody to pay the salary of his, and it's USC. So I just thought that the federal authorities might be interested in that. It's kind of a neat, kind of a neat detail. What's not a neat detail is the way the city council has been canceling Friday meetings and using a weird technique where they don't call up antagonists or critics because they can see they don't want to talk to them, and they say, that's it. And they do it strategically, like yesterday when Mark Ridley Thomas, who I have a long history with, he's a great man, I'm a great man, but we've had a lot of dialogue about his wrongdoing out in the public space. Nope, no room for Mr. Previn yesterday. Now, you know, that's not your beat. I understand your beat is, well, you guys are, you're in charge of one thing that's very, very good and well done is the reporting of what people are up to months and years after the fact. Not to say that you don't need more staff, and certainly you have a large contingent of folk who are going to help get that going. We definitely need more staff. We'd also like to get Mark Lowe back. Maybe he could answer about what happened to Mercury Public Affairs, who gave, you know, prodigiously from 2019 to right up till this last quarter, took money as lobbyists working for Sempra. And then yesterday they went into a closed session with Paul Bull. Oh, and we'll get the upshot sure. Next. Listen, let me just say to this group, you're doing a great job and keep up the good work. It's a lot of, there's a lot going on. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Previn. Mr. Savio, is there any other public comment?
President Davis, it does not look like we have any other public comment. There are no hands raised, and we can move on to item 3.
Thank you, sir. That concludes our public comment period. Thank you, Mr. Previn, for your comments. Now we go to the next item of business, which is approving the minutes of the August meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Murray, so moved.
Is there a second?
Mr. Darrow, second.
Any discussion? Let's take a vote. Mr. Savio, please call the roll.
This vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on August 18, 2021. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Yes. President Davis, yes.
Vice President Darr?
Commissioner Darr, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, I'm going to recuse myself because I was not available last month. Or last meeting.
Commissioner Janelle, while you can abstain from this vote, if you want to recuse, you have to leave the meeting. If you abstain, you are still counted as a yes vote.
I will abstain then.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 4 yes votes. The motion stands.
Thank you very much.
Just to clarify, it would actually be 5 yes votes.
Yes, to clarify, we have 5 yes votes and the motion stands.
Thank you. Continuing with you, Ms. Sato, have any resolutions or community impact statements been filed for this meeting?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. President.
Thank you. We will then move on to our action item. The first action item is item number 5, which is a proposed stipulation. I'd like to ask our Director of Enforcement, Ken Hardy, to present this item. Welcome, Mr. Hardy.
Good morning, President Davis and members of the Ethics Commission. I think we have Special Investigator Sabrina Gonzalez also present with us. She was assigned to this matter, and I should say she's indispensable in getting us to where we are today on this item. Item 5 is a proposed stipulated settlement in the matter of Steve S. Kim and GSD Partners Corporation. Mr. Kim is the sole owner of this firm. The firm provides clients essentially with consulting services regarding discretionary entitlements in land use matters in the city of Los Angeles. As you probably know, discretionary matters usually involve CUPs, variances, general plan amendment changes, any type of permit that requires discretion by a city official. The municipal lobbying ordinance defines attempts to influence city officials on such land use matters as lobbying. And as you know, the ordinance requires those individuals who qualify as lobbyists to register as lobbyists, and those firms who require who qualify as lobbyist firms to register as firms and to file quarterly reports. We received a complaint about Mr. Kim's activities in late 2019. Based upon our investigation, Mr. Kim's firm had been, recommenced business in 2017. The activity was very minimal, though, until the last quarter of 2019. At that point in time, based on our investigation, Mr. Kim had qualified as a lobbyist and his firm qualified as a lobbying firm. With respect to his activities on behalf of his clients, therefore, we concluded, and this was after discussing the matter and with Mr. Kim and based on the information that we had, that Mr. Kim, in fact, was required to register as a lobbyist in the fourth quarter of 2019, register his firm, GSD, as a lobbying firm in that same quarter, and to begin filing quarterly reports. He did not do so, and therefore the proposed settlement includes three charges or three counts for each of those violations. We do note, however, that once Ms. Gonzalez reached out to Mr. Kim, he complied immediately. Moving forward, beginning in 2020, he did register himself as a lobbyist, registered his firm, and began filing quarterly reports, and he's been in compliance ever since. So we're looking at three counts for the last quarter of 2019. As you know, with respect to the commission's ability to impose penalties, the penalty can be up to the greater of $5,000 per violation, or three times the amount that was improperly reported, spent, or received. In this case, we have three counts. That would be three times $5,000. The maximum penalty in this case then, based on our stipulated settlement, would be $15,000. We recommend, however, pursuant to the stipulated settlement, a total penalty of $7,500. That would be a 50% discount. We recommend that settlement based on the circumstances of the case, and these are circumstances that are contemplated in the municipal lobbying ordinance. I'll start with the bad stuff. On the one hand, Mr. Kim did not consult the Ethics Commission about complying with the law in the first place, and the violations in this case are by definition serious. On the other hand, and in mitigation, in this matter, Mr. Kim cooperated with the investigation. He saved his resources definitely by entering into the stipulation relatively early, so we didn't have to go to the next phase of the process, which would be a probable cause report. Mr. Kim registered himself and his firm and started complying with the reporting requirements once we communicated to him. He has no prior enforcement history with the Ethics Commission, and there's no evidence of Mr. Kim practicing deceit or having any deliberate violation. This is strict liability, but there was no evidence of a deliberate violation. Therefore, the enforcement division supports the recommended penalty of $7,500, and we believe it promotes an equitable treatment of this respondent, and it comports with other settlements in the past, encourages early resolution of the case, and it also reflects the seriousness of the violation. If you have any questions on this matter, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
To that point, commissioners, please raise your hand to be recognized if you do have questions for Mr. Hardy. Seeing none, seeing no further questions, I will entertain a motion regarding the stipulation.
So moved.
I'll second.
Could you state your name before the movement for the record? Thank you.
Commissioner Murray, I so move to approve the stipulation and the recommended amount of $7,500 for Stephen Kim and GSD22 Partners Corporation.
Commissioner Janelle seconds.
Thank you both. Any further discussion? Mr. Estavio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. This vote is on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation in case number 2020-09 in the matter of Steve S. Kim and GS22 Partners Corporation. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes and the motion stands.
Thank you. Continuing on, item number 6 addresses 2 additional proposed stipulations. Mr. Hardy, if you would continue and please tell us about these cases.
Yes, thank you. On this item, we also have senior investigator Stephen Cullen present also, and he was absolutely indispensable in getting us to where we are today on this matter. So item 6 consists of 2 proposed stipulated settlements, one for in the matter of JCI Worldwide and Seth Jacobson, and the other for in the matter of Stephen Crosby and Crosby Consulting. I'm sorry, there might be a little background noise here outside my house here. I hope you can't hear that. So as discussed, these cases are related. So Ethics Commission staff received a complaint alleging, and I'll give you a little background information on this matter, a complaint about members of a group calling itself Build with Strength engaging in unregistered lobbying activities related to an ordinance pending before the city. The ordinance pertained to the use of non-combustible building materials, essentially the use of concrete as opposed to wood. Build with Strength is a grassroots lobbying program of the National Ready Mixed Concrete Association. This organization is basically an industry advocate for businesses in the ready mixed concrete industry. JCI is a public affairs company that specializes in strategic communications, grassroots advocacy, coalition development. Mr. Jacobson is JCI's sole owner. Mr. Crosby, through his business, Crosby Consulting, operated as a subcontractor to JCI and is a one-person operation. So during our investigation, we determined that Mr. Jacobson and his firm, Mr. Crosby and his firm, were paid to engage in lobbying activities, including directly communicating with the city officials on behalf of Build with Strength. And as a result, we're required to register and file quarterly reports. More specifically, we determined that JCI failed to register in 2018 and 2020. I actually have kind of a laundry list, and all of the counts are listed in the exhibit. I'd be more than happy to kind of list them all, but there's essentially a fair number of failures to register as an individual lobbyist for both individuals, failure to register as a lobbying firm for both individuals, and of course a corresponding failure to file lobbying and lobbyist firm reports. In addition to the lobbying registration and report issues, as you know, the charter prohibits lobbyists from making political contributions to those individuals that they actually registered to lobby to. There were a number of improper contributions as well. Mr. Jacobson's firm made one prohibited political contribution. Mr. Jacobson himself made 2, and Mr. Crosby made 3. So it's important to note in this particular matter Mr. Jacobson and Mr. Crosby did cooperate once we reached out to them. There was a fair amount of dialogue and a fair amount of investigation in this matter, but ultimately they did fully cooperate and they did register and they did file all the quarterly reports they were supposed to file. As mentioned before, you have the authority to impose fines up to a maximum of $5,000 per violation or 3 times the amount that was improperly reported, spent, or received. In this case, the two parties collectively face, or I should say four, the two firms and the two individuals, collectively face maximum charge penalties of $195,000. So the maximum penalties, as we can see, are significant in this case. That's broken down to $130,000 for JCI and its owner, Mr. Jacobson. That's 26 counts times $5,000. And then $65,000 maximum penalty against Crosby Consulting and its owner, Mr. Crosby. That's $5,000 times 13 counts. That's the maximum. We recommend resolving the case by approving the proposed stipulation, which sets forth a total penalty of $97,500. That's essentially a 50% discount. Between the two of them, that would be broken out as $65,000 for JCI and Mr. Jacobson and $32,500 for Crosby Consulting and Mr. Crosby. So although the reduction is significant, it's 50%, we believe the recommended penalties are still significant in an absolute amount, but that they are appropriate given the circumstances of the case. On the one hand, starting with the negative, the parties did not consult with the Ethics Commission on how to comply with the law early on, originally, and the violations are definitely serious by definition, and in total quantity, they're serious in this particular case. In mitigation, however, Mr. Jacobson and Mr. Crosby were, I'd have to say, very cooperative with the investigation once we really started engaging them in earnest and digging into the case and providing them the information that we found. The respondent saved us a significant time in stipulating to this settlement. At this stage, we never had to work up or prepare a probable cause report in this matter. It was clear that both of them wanted to settle at this early stage, so that saves us significant time and resources. As I said before, Mr. Crosby and Mr. Jacobson have registered, and both individually and as their firms, and have filed all of the required reports. So they were willing to do that once we kind of came to an understanding of the situation. The respondents have no prior history with the Ethics Commission, and we found no evidence of deliberate violation or an intent to conceal or deceive. So those are all mitigating factors in this case. So in conclusion, I would say the Enforcement Division, we strongly support this proposed settlement in this matter. We think it's fair. We think it comports with prior settlements in the matter. And we think it definitely serves the purposes of the municipal obligation ordinance and also reflects the serious nature of this particular matter. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
So, Mr. Hardy, I had a quick question. Maybe if you could just describe, I was interested in the mitigation portion of your recommendation. Given that this is their business and the amounts involved, I'd like to know what intent looks like to deceive, because it would seem that if this is your business and you're getting paid this amount of money, you would have some idea that there were ethical ramifications to your actions. So maybe you could describe just a little what went into or what the standard is for finding intent, and then what someone would need to do to actually do that, since this feels like you could just not stumble into something this large with
like no knowledge.
You know, certainly. So JCI and Crosby Consulting, and you know, we had lengthy discussions with both of the individuals involved here, but we also did research in the matter and did you know, the usual research for the enforcement division, looking at emails and just looking at their activity even outside of city business. You know, JCI is not like other firms where it's a full-time lobbying firm that deals with the city and other public agencies. It looks like, and we believe them based on the evidence that we found, most of their activity is dealing with the private sector. They have campaigns and they have other activities. We couldn't find evidence that they do much actual this type of lobbying. So I think we took that into account. This is not a full-time lobbying firm at the state or at the city level where they know the drill and they've done this over and over and over. That would definitely be a different situation. In this case, it looks like you know, what they do in the private sector with various campaigns, corporate campaigns, dovetailed with this activity with Build With Strength, but it was something that is definitely not their bread and butter. And actually, we couldn't really find much evidence of other lobbying activity by them. So that was important to us.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. I appreciate the explanation. And also your appreciation to you, Mr. Colon, for your work on that. Other commissioners, do you have questions? There are no further questions. Is there a motion regarding the stipulation?
Commissioner Dar will move to, we're going to do this together, approve both of the proposed stipulations and orders.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second. Commissioner Colcone seconds.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any other discussion? Mr. Stadio, would you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you. This vote is on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation for both cases, case number 2021-08 in the matter of JCI Worldwide Incorporated and Seth Jacobson, and case number 2021-11 in the matter of Stephen Crosby and Crosby Consulting. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Colcarney?
Commissioner Colcarney, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hardy, and thanks to your team. If you would pass our appreciation back for their fine work on these and the other matters we know you continue to work on.
You're welcome, and I'm glad to finally make a presentation to this commission.
Well, welcome. We're glad to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
I'm sure there are others on the call as well that are glad that you're in the seat making that presentation. Turning now to a familiar face, item number 7 is a recusal review. Tyler Joseph, our policy director, will present on this item.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Item 7. So item 7 is a recusal review of, a review of the recusals for Dr. Pedram Salimpour. Dr. Salimpour is a member of the Board of Fire and Police Pension Commissioners. He's been serving on that board since 2013, and his current term is set to expire in June of 2022. And during this review period, he recused himself from 5 items. All 5 of these came as a result of his wife's employment with Kaiser Permanente. Commissioner Salimpour has been the subject of 2 prior recusal reviews. This review is essentially a repeat of the review that took place in October of last year for the exact same reasons. The items, both then and now, concern the potential award of contracts for health and dental plan administration services for the people who participate in the pension system. Commissioner Salenpour's wife is a doctor with Kaiser, which is one of the administrators within the pension system. And in this particular case, 4 out of the 5 recusals came during presentations to the board. So in each of those cases, there was no reportable action taken. And the final recusal came during a unanimous approval by the board to include certain Kaiser Health plans in a list of plans that would be eligible for subsidies provided by the board for the current fiscal year. So those 5 reviews represented less than 3% of the total number of items that came before the board during this review period. So as with previous reviews, we do not believe that these recusals were significant in terms of number or impact. And again, we are recommending that a finding of no divestment be required and that you adopt the resolution in attachment A for that purpose. And if you have any questions about this one, I would be happy to answer them.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? Seeing none, do we have a motion regarding this recusal review?
So moved. Murray, so moved.
Thank you. Commissioner Murray has moved to approve the resolution in attachment A. Is there a second?
Janelle will second.
Any additional discussion? Mr. Subio, would you please call the roll?
This vote is on the motion to adopt the resolution in attachment A regarding the review of recusals for Pedram Salamanpour. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janow?
Commissioner Janow, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Joseph. We'll now turn to our information items. Blanca Pera is our campaign program manager. Ms. Pera, would you please summarize this item for us? This is the election update.
Hello. So to date, we have 102 candidates that have filed to run for office, and the next reporting deadline will be January 31st of 2022, and we'll cover activity from July 1st to December 31st of this year. To date, since the last deadline, candidates reported raising approximately $7.5 million and $1.8 million in expenditures. To date, we also have 34 candidates that have already agreed to participate in the matching funds program. Candidates have until candidate filing week to agree to participate in the program. Candidates have also filed over 700 communications, and to date, we have not received any independent expenditure communications. There are also 2 potential recalls at the city level, and they're currently in the petition process with the city clerk. And there have been 2 committees that have filed in connection to those recalls and have reported 47,000 in contributions and 23,000 in, 28,000 in expenditures.
Does any commissioner have a question for Ms. Pereira? Thank you very much, Ms. Pereira. I appreciate your report. I will now turn to the lobbying summary for the second quarter of 2021. Kiana S. Manfar is our lobbying program manager. Ms. Manfar, would you please summarize this item for us?
Hi, good morning, commissioners. So summarizing our lobbying report for Q2 of this year, we had 518 registered lobbyists, 88 employers, and 152 lobbying firms, including 53 sole proprietorships, meaning we had a total of 705 required disclosure reports for this period, 97% of which were filed on time. On page 13 of the report, you will find the total amount of payments that were made by clients to lobbying firms, as well as a list of the top 10 highest paid lobbying firms. So in Q2 of this year, we had a total of $19 million in client payments that were made during the quarter. The top 10 highest paid firms in Q2 received a combined total of $8.7 million. So together they comprise a little bit less than half of all payments made in the quarter. Our top 10 highest paying clients of Q2 reported paying $2.7 million in the quarter, which makes up 15% of all client payments made. And this information can be found on page 9. On page 13, you'll find a summary of fundraising and contribution activity reported by lobbying entities. We had 30 lobbying entities report a total of $289,000 in fundraising amounts during the second quarter. We had 6 lobbying entities report direct contributions totaling nearly $21,000. And for contributions that were delivered to candidates, we had several lobbying entities report nearly $90,000 in delivered contributions. So across these 3 activities, including fundraising, direct contributions, and delivered contributions combined, we had a total of nearly $400,000 reported by lobbying entities in Q2. Lastly, on page 21, you will find a summary of major filer activity in the quarter. And these are entities who incur expenses of $5,000 or more in a given calendar quarter to influence city matters. And in Q2, we had 6 major filers report a total of $419,000 in development expenditures.
Does anyone have any questions? Well, thank you very much, Ms. Asminfar. We appreciate the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll now turn to the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest. Samantha Rodriguez is our ethics program manager. Ms. Rodriguez, would you please summarize this item for us?
Thank you, Commissioner. Item 10 before you is a summary of the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council for approval since our last commission meeting. Since our last commission meeting during the August 2021 and September 2021 period, there were a total of 9 nominees whose pre-confirmation statements of economic interests were filed and then subsequently transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council. The details of these transmittals are in your binders, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? And thank you very much, Ms. Rodriguez. We appreciate the presentation. And again, we will turn for our policy and legislation updates to Mr. Joseph. Mr. Joseph, floor is yours.
Thank you. So item 11 is the policy update. In December, we will have another recusal review coming up, this time coming from the Cultural Heritage Commission. Also, we told President Davis at our last meeting that we would have an update on some activity at the state concerning behested payments. And tomorrow, Thursday, the FPPC will be considering a few new regulations on that front. I'll give you a quick summary on those. So the first would require some additional disclosure in situations where the behesting official has control over or an employment relationship with a nonprofit payee, and where the payor is involved in a proceeding before the behesting official's agency during or in the preceding 12 months of the payment. The second regulation being considered would allow a behesting official to make a good faith estimate as to the amount of payments when they can obtain that information from the payee within 30 days of filing. The third offers some clarifying language for an existing regulation that concerns the way an official is featured on a fundraising solicitation that's sent out by a charitable organization. This one is in part to clarify when exactly reporting requirements are triggered for the officials. And finally, the fourth proposed reg concerns the donor-advised funds. This would require the official, when they're disclosing the name of the payor on their behested payment reporting, to include the names of the sponsoring organization, the donor advised fund, and the donor. It requires, or it would require, that information to be provided to the extent that it's actually available to the official, but it would also require that the official ask the sponsoring organization for the identity of those parties. And all of these regs were most recently discussed at the FPPC's Law and Policy Committee last month, and we'll know tomorrow whether these are going to move forward as they are currently or if the full commission intends to make any changes. We'll certainly keep you updated on that, but as of tomorrow, we'll know what's going to happen exactly.
Thank you very much for circling back with the information on the behested payments. I appreciate that, Mr. Joseph. And we will wait for further update on that. Commissioners, do you have any other questions for Mr. Joseph on this or other policy or legislative matters? Seeing none, thank you again, Mr. Joseph, for your presentation.
Thank you.
We will now turn to the Executive Director's report from David Tristan. Mr. Tristan, would you please summarize your Executive Director's report?
Good morning, Commissioners. I want to start off by introducing the newest member to our staff, Willie Jones III. Willie is our new programmer, and he will be a key member of the team in working to develop the developer contribution database. Willie, would you like to say some words?
Of course. Hello, everyone. My name is Willie David Jones III. It's a pleasure to be here. I look forward to working with you all, and I hope to one day meet everyone in person once everything is back to normal.
They're all hoping for that, Mr. Jones. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Willie. With that, President Davis, I'd like to highlight some of the key work that we've been doing. We most recently released one of our lobbying dashboard, which is continuing in us providing ways for the public to access the vast amount of information that we have. And the lobbying dashboard provides nearly 20 years of lobbying information, including registration, payment activity, and fundraising activity for lobbyists, lobbying firms, lobbying clients, et cetera. And the staff did a great job in putting that together. It provides the information in a different way than we have the information on our site. It includes graphs, charts, and information that can be sorted and viewed, and it can also take users directly to the reports once you are looking at the information on the graph. So that was one of the more substantive projects that we were working on, and we're excited to have released that. I've already received calls from a couple of other jurisdictions on how we put that together, and have continued to communicate, you know, with others on finding ways to make all the information that we have user-friendly and digestible, since we continue to receive vast amounts of reports throughout the different programs. In addition, we also released two educational brochures, one related to political activity and a revolving one related to revolving door laws. Those were widely distributed and are also available on our website. The budget process for next year's budget has already begun. We will be starting to put that together. We are required to submit our budget to the CAO's office by mid-November. As with the last couple of years, this will continue to be a somewhat challenging budget. The requirement that the CAO and the mayor are establishing is a no-growth budget that would require us to come up with funding for any additional resources that we would need from within our current department budget, which obviously we're not a revenue-generating budget, so that presents a challenge. But in addition, the baseline that is being used is one that will require us to make requests for positions that were given into us as part of this year's budget. So We will be working with those offices to ensure that we maintain all the resources that we need to continue to do the work that is extremely important. Finally, I want to mention that this quarter will continue to be a very busy one for us. We have filings due in the majority of the programs for the third quarter. And so we, the staff is focused on providing advice, guidance, and filing assistance to the regulated community, and disclosing that information will happen towards the end of this month. And with that, I'd be more than glad to answer any questions on any of the information on the executive director's report.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? You're just that wonderful executive director, Kristen.
I will take it.
Take it and run. Yes. A meeting adjourned. No, it's not. It's not. Thank you again for your presentation, and thank you for providing the brochures. They look beautiful, and certainly the march toward educating the public, as well as the city family on the responsibilities. So we do not see them under Mr. Hardy's presentation section. So thank you. With that, we come to our closing items. This is an opportunity first under item 13 for commissioner announcements, request to schedule items on future agendas. Commissioners, do you have any announcements or requests for future agendas or items that you'd like to talk about? None at this time. It's now time for adjournment. Thank you to my professional fellow commissioners, the staff, and the public for a great meeting today. Also would like to thank Mr. Subio for his moderation. I do appreciate everyone's input. At this time, the meeting will be adjourned at 10:26 a.m. Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good first meeting, President Davis.
Yes, very good meeting.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Great meeting. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.